Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather here in this Sunday, the seventh day of Easter, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just call your attention to a couple of things found in your bulletin. The church picnic we will be having on June 18th from 12 to 5, and it will we're planning on having it, holding it in Burlholm Park, which is on Cottman Avenue. So please mark that down on your calendars. Also, in the next couple of weeks, we will be moving into the chapel area where hopefully it'll be cooler. So we will that will be coming up in a couple of weeks during Pentecost. And also remind folks that on July, beginning in July, we'll be starting our vacation Bible school that is underway now, the planning. And so we anticipate that we'll have a wonderful time for our vacation Bible school. If you know of any children, please get the word out that we will be having our vacation Bible school beginning on Tuesday, July 19th through Thursday, July the 21st. There are other things, of course, that will be happening at Alney Presbyterian Church through the summer months. So please make sure that you not only read your bulletin, but also go to our church website to stay abreast of events here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Revelation. We'll be reading from chapter 22, verses 12 through 14, verses 16 through 17, then 20 and 21. So let us listen to God's word for us. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Let us again listen to God's word for us. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks to everyone for being here on this holiday weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, the weekend when our nation acknowledges and lifts up all those who have fallen in the service of our country. Because it is the Memorial Day weekend, we won't be terribly long here this morning. I know everyone's kind of anxious to get out to their activities, but I do want to talk a little bit this morning about glory. That's the word that always comes to mind for me on Memorial Day, the word glory. I was walking down Old Soldiers Road yesterday in Tacony Creek and noticed the memorial for veterans that's there on the corner. And I've walked by there several times and have never really noticed the memorial there before, but in preparation for the holiday weekend, the memorial was adorned with several American flags, and it caught my attention. And so I stopped to look, and there are also, in addition to the American flag, several crosses that surrounded the memorial. And each cross had a name on it. I suppose that it was the name of someone who had fallen in one of our nation's wars, probably World War II. But it caught my mind, and as I was there studying the memorial and looking at the names and the crosses, the word that came to my mind was glory. When I was a young second lieutenant at Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, I would travel to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day to see the Vietnam Memorial. It was always a solemn occasion. Veterans and family members from all over the nation would come to pay tribute to those who had given their lives in what was perhaps the most unpopular war in our nation's history. But as I watched family members searching on the memorial for the names of loved ones and taking paper and pencil and scratching on the name so that they would have the name sketched, etched in the paper that they brought with them, I couldn't help but think of that word, glory. Memorial Day, of course, has its origins in the Civil War, the bloodiest war in American history, and of course the war that was fought right here on American soil. One of my favorite Civil War movies is the movie about the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment. It was the first African-American unit formed during the war, commanded by Colonel Robert Shaw, and the unit was best known for leading the Union attack on the well-fortified Confederate position at Mount Wagner. The Confederate Army was able to repel the attack, and the 54th Regiment lost about a third of its men, but the bravery and the military bearing of the 54th became celebrated throughout the Union and was popularized by the 1980 movie by the name Glory. Glory. We all know what glory means, of course. It means splendor. It means to shine, it means renown and honor won by notable achievements. We all sometimes have this desire, this dream to glory, to bask in glory, to bask in the renown of some achievement of ours. Maybe that's the reason the word comes so readily to mind for me on this Memorial Day. There's always a certain splendor, a certain honor accorded to people who give everything, who give their lives for a purpose beyond themselves. Glory. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is praying about glory. Indeed, chapter 17 of John's gospel comprises the prayer that Jesus prays right before his arrest and crucifixion. It is called the Great Priestly Prayer. And in that prayer, Jesus is praying for all of us. He is praying for you and me. He is praying for his disciples down through the generations. And he is praying for our unity. our unity with Him, our unity with God the Father, our unity with the Spirit, our unity with each other. It is in our unity that people will know that we belong to God, that we belong to Him. And so He is praying for our unity, our at-one-ment, our atonement. But He also prays that His disciples will see His glory. And not only that we may see His glory, but He prays that we will share His glory. I want to be clear this morning. I don't want to in any way associate the way of Christ with the way of violence and war and bloodshed. We have a tendency to glorify and romanticize war and violence. We get enough of that on a daily basis. We're reminded that the way of Christ in the world is diametrically opposed to the way of violence and bloodshed. Indeed, when God wants to change the world, God doesn't call in the Marines. God doesn't call in the 82nd Airborne. When God wants to change the world, God calls in the meek. He calls in the merciful. He calls in the peacemakers. When God wants to change the world, God calls in those who hunger and who thirst for justice and righteousness. And He doesn't call them to take up arms, but He calls them to walk in the way of self-giving love. He calls them to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He calls them to walk in the way of glory, true glory. And that's what glory is about. That's what the biblical notion of glory is about. Glory is about sacrifice. It is about the self-giving love of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That is what God's glory looks like. In John's gospel, Jesus talks a lot about glory. In chapter 2, his mother comes to him and wants him to do something about a lack of wine at a wedding at Cana. The wine has run out, and Jesus' mother wants him to do something about it. And at the importuning of his mother, Jesus turned several barrels of water into wine. It is his first miracle, a real shining moment for Jesus, the kind of moment that many of us would love to have, a moment to stand out, a moment to shine, a moment to bask in glory. But Jesus tells us, or he tells his mother, that his hour has not yet come. And even though we are told that his disciples see his glory, he tells his mother, "My hour has not yet come, the hour of my ultimate glory, the hour of my ultimate splendor. It has not yet come." Because the hour of his ultimate glory is when he is lifted up on the cross. It's when he is lifted up on the cross that his true glory shines out. It is when he is lifted up on the cross that we see the splendor of God, the splendor of self-giving love, which is the beating heart of the world. And that is Jesus's glory. And so Jesus prays that you and I, that all of his disciples will be able to see his glory, and not only to see it, but that we will share in his glory. Every Sunday we sang, as we sung this morning, the glory of Patre. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. And according to Jesus' prayer, we might add, glory be to all of us as well. Glory be to us in our unity. Glory be to us in our love, because we are one. We are one with the Father. We are one with the Son. We are one with the Holy Spirit. We are one with each other. Whenever we are one, we are reflecting God's glory. We are reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But we are also reminded that there is a strong connection between love and glory. When you love someone, when you love something, there's almost nothing that you wouldn't do. When you love someone, you are willing to endure any risk. You're willing to lay down your life for the beloved. I'm reminded of all the Christians throughout the centuries who have exhibited glory in the way that they have risked everything in acts of self-giving love. I was reading something this week by Mother Maria Skobsova, who was a nun in the Russian Orthodox Church in France during World War II. She saw each human being as being made in the image of God, icons they call them in the Greek church, but each human being she saw as an icon, an image of God. And as images of God, each and every person was someone to be honored, someone to be loved, and that's the way she lived her life. She loved each and every person who came to her, each and every person she met, each and every person who solicited her help, she loved them. And during World War II, when the Nazis occupied France, many Jews came to her home, to the home of her family, seeking refuge and seeking from the priest certificates of baptism so that they could present them to the Nazi occupiers in order to hide their Jewishness. And Mother Maria helped in that enterprise, helped to hide Jews from the Nazi invaders. Her and her family were found out. Their home was closed down. She and her family were sent to concentration camps, and that's where she died. She was executed in a concentration camp at Ravensbrück. But the word that comes out when I read her story is the word glory. In her act of self-giving love, she revealed the glory of God, the glory of Christ, glory. There's always a connection between love and glory. I was reading this week about Jennifer Gomez. She was one of the parents who heard about the person who came into the school at Uvalde, Texas. Two of her kids were in the school, and so she rushed down to the school when she heard it. She rushed down to the school, and of course the police would not let her and other parents enter into the schools, and I'm not second guessing the police. They were the ones who perhaps knew best, but she insisted that she be allowed to go into the school to retrieve her children. And she was apprehended and thrown to the ground and handcuffed because she insisted to go in. But she had a friend who was on the police force, and she talked a friend into letting her go, loosening handcuffs, and they let her go, and immediately she ran and she jumped the fence and ran into the school at great risk to her own life, and she retrieved her two kids and ran back out. And when I heard that story, I couldn't help but to think of the word glory. glory. That's the stuff of glory, the kind of love that makes for glory, the kind of love that is willing to sacrifice everything, to risk everything for the sake of the beloved. Glory. It's the same kind of glory that was in evidence when Jesus Christ came in the midst of our death-dealing world to liberate this whole world, to liberate each and every one of us. Glory. Glory. Keep thinking about the politicians and the like in our society after this last shooting, this third shooting in so many days, the shooting in Buffalo a few days ago, the shooting inside of a church, in a grocery store, in the schools, and you wonder, how long are we as a nation going to tolerate it? And indeed, if our politicians and officials had any love for our fellow citizens, any love for children in school, any love for elderly people who go to the grocery store, any love, they would do something about the violence. They would do something about all the shootings. They would do something about the guns. I understand their apprehensiveness. I understand their fear. I understand that a part of their constituency will probably react negatively against them. I know that they want to hold on to power, that they want to hold on to their careers. But there's a connection between love and glory. Glory is about sacrificing, it's about self-giving, it's about doing what is right for the sake of the beloved. Every first Sunday we come here and we have our own Memorial Day. We gather around the table and we share a meal and we remember the great sacrifice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. We remember how he came down in the midst of this world. He came because God loved the world. He came because God loves each and every one of us. He came because God wanted to reflect and show God's glory on the cross, God's splendor, God's glory. And we are reminded of that. We remember that whenever we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. And we also remember our unity, our at-one-ment, our atonement with God, with the Father, with God the Son, and each other. We are one. We are those who partake in the glory and share in the glory. And that's what God has called us to do, is not simply to memorialize Jesus, but to participate in the glory, to be propelled by love, God's self-giving love, love for the world, love for God's people, love for each other, love for those who are suffering, love for the marginalized, love for the vulnerable. There's a connection between love and glory. God wants us to share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so on this day, let us remember the glory, God's glory, our glory, the glory of the cross, the glory of the God who gave everything so that we might be delivered from this death-dealing world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, We thank you this morning for this time. We thank you this morning for your love for us, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us your glory. Help us to live into that glory, Lord, with the way we live our own lives. Help us to love as you loved, so that the love that we have for each other and for you will radiate throughout this whole creation and reveal your splendor and your glory. And we ask all of these things in the name, the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.